Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Hi, welcome to today's episode of Thrive, Not Just Survive, How to Live from Within. Consciousness is the remarkable ability to be aware of our surroundings, thoughts, and feelings, and to reflect upon our existence. But hidden within this concept lies a world of endless possibilities waiting to be explored. Imagine you possess a hidden key that unlocks the door to a world where the boundaries of reality are transcended. In this world, the power of your thoughts becomes a force of creation and exploration. With consciousness as your guide, you can shape the very fabric of existence, where ideals blossom into extraordinary journeys and the seemingly impossible becomes within your reach. Think of your mind as a vast landscape waiting to be discovered and molded. Like a skilled sculptor, you can mold your thoughts into intricate forms, giving life to new concepts and uncharted possibilities. Your mind becomes fertile ground where seeds of inspiration can take root and flourish, leading to discoveries and innovations that have the potential to change the world. But consciousness is not only about personal exploration, it is a gateway to understanding and connection. Through consciousness, we gain insights into the thoughts and emotions of others, fostering empathy and compassion. It is a bridge that brings people together, promoting understanding and unity in a diverse and complex world. Moreover, consciousness drives the engines of scientific progress and technological advancements. Like intrepid explorers, scientists utilize their consciousness to investigate the mysteries of the universe. They pose questions, conduct experiments, and analyze data, unlocking the secrets of nature and pushing the boundaries of human knowledge. Through consciousness, we have unraveled the intricacies of DNA, ventured into the depths of space, and developed technologies that shape our daily lives. Your consciousness is a precious gift. It holds the key to unexplored territories and limitless potential. Embrace the power of your imagination, curiosity, and your critical thinking. Let your consciousness be the guiding light that propels you toward a future filled with awe-inspiring accomplishments and boundless opportunities. In this video, we're going to ask the question, why spirituality is all about consciousness and energy? Why is spirituality all about consciousness and energy? Because it is. And what I want to do is to sort of unpack that. And I want to unpack, what is consciousness? How does that impact spirituality? And how does it impact energy? As we've said in other videos, and I encourage you, if you haven't watched the earlier videos, I encourage you to go back and watch those videos. It'll give you a little more information that we build on as we do these. But as we've said in the past, everything is energy. All matter equals energy. So, you know, the table I'm at, the shirt I'm wearing, it's made of energy. It's all energy. And all energy is made up of atoms. And atoms are made up of subatomic particles. And if you take those subatomic particles down to their most minute form, what you'll find is that they are in vibration, rapid vibration. And that vibration has a certain frequency. And all energy is in frequency, and it has, because it has a vibration. And all things are made of energy. And so that is why spirituality is so tied to energy. This is why consciousness is so important. And what we want to do is we want to look at, if you will, this quantum world of energy and how consciousness interplays with that and why it's important to your spiritual walk, because it actually is. Now, we're not going to get too deep in the woods, you know, too deep in the weeds, if you will. We're just going to keep it sort of at a surface level. I want to keep it as workable for you as I can, but I don't want to miss some things that could be potential breakthroughs for you in how you live your life in a spiritual understanding, a spiritual context. So join me today on this journey as we begin to see spirituality, not only from its depths in the person of Christ, but also in its depths in the reality of quantum energy. And then the last thing I want to keep in mind is that everything was made by God. So everything we talk about today, no matter the language that I use to do it, it's all created by the divine being, by the divine life. So keep that in mind as we talk. Now, non-local consciousness is the ideal that our awareness and thoughts extend beyond our physical bodies and are not confined to a specific location. It suggests that consciousness is interconnected and can transcend the limitations of space and time. Now, scripture seems to agree that consciousness is non-local by the spirit. And remember what we said is that as we were discussing the unified field of energy, that unified field is Christ or Christ consciousness, if you will. But I think scripture really addresses this ideal that all consciousness is in Christ and that consciousness itself is outside of the brain. The brain is very much like a computer. It receives data, it processes that data, makes meaning of it, and then it stores it. And so the brain itself, though, does not create consciousness. It is simply receiving consciousness. All consciousness is what scientists call non-local. And that consciousness is in the mind of Christ, if you will, Christ consciousness. It's all in Christ. And I think the scriptures give us a pretty clear outline of this, as quantum physics has already begun to touch on it through its study of quantum mechanics. Let's look at a few scriptures to see how this interacts with what we're learning from quantum physics. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" You see this? He knew their thoughts. This also suggests that consciousness is in the divine field. It's in Christ. This is out of Matthew 9:4. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." So here he was able to see him, even though he was far away. Quantum physics would agree with this, that this is possible because of everything being in the unified field. Just as Jesus could know their thoughts in the unified field, so he could see them in the unified field. And now John 16:12-14, it says this, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." You see, the Spirit will already know all these things, and he will reveal it to you and me when we need it. It's interesting there, he says, he will guide you into all truth. That truth being in Christ, or if you will, Christ consciousness, the mind of Christ. And then he says, he will tell you things to come. How will we know that? Because he's in the unified field as well, and he has the divine mind. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, everything that I have, I'm going to give to him, and he's going to give to you. The Spirit, where does that Spirit live? That Spirit lives within you, one with you. And the ideal of glorify there is he will show you the value of it. He will show you the value of what Jesus has said and what Jesus is representing, and the truth he's trying to give you. And so this ideal is that all of this is in Christ, and Christ is, if you will, this quantum unified field. And this tends to me to suggest that consciousness is in this field. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, I think this verse probably above all else gives us a sense that, yes, all consciousness is non-local. Because he says, we have the mind of Christ. He says, who's known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? In other words, how have we received anything other than from God? Well, we have it because of the mind of Christ. That Spirit lives within us. That Spirit is one with us, and we are one with that Spirit. The mind of Christ, therefore, is ours, and that is in this unified field that all consciousness is in. And then it says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my Spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is out of 1 Corinthians 5:4. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He's actually giving them instructions as to how to deal with somebody. And he says, when you gather together along with my, what, Spirit? My Spirit's with you. So when you gather together with me, and my Spirit's going to be there with you, and when you do that, when we are there together, we are in there in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how all this comes together? They're there. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Paul is there, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he lives within them and is one with them in this unified field, living within them. They, therefore, also have that mind, and together they're doing this. You see how that really fits into what quantum physics has understood in regards to the unified field itself. And in Colossians 2:5, the apostle says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." And here again, he says, "Yet I am with you in spirit." Present tense, there when you come together. So just as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote to the church in Colossians, and he says, "Listen, I'm there along with you in spirit. My Spirit is literally there with you." Teleportation, if you will, quantum teleportation. This is ideal that he could literally be there in spirit with them, sensing what they're saying and doing. And the same is true for the church in Colossae, that he was with them as well. This, to me, indicates that this mind of Christ, this unified quantum field of energy that is this mind of Christ, encompasses everything. There's nothing outside of it. And I take these things as literal. When Paul says, yet I'm in the spirit with you, he's not saying, well, you know, my attitude's there with you or my sense of direction's there. No, that's not what he's saying. He's literally saying, we're one spirit. And so you can't do anything that my spirit's not there with you. This is a really, these are amazing statements. And I think when we hear what scientists have to say about quantum physics, they tie directly in to what's called general revelation. That is the revelation of God's creation. And to me, it opens up an entirely new world. So as we've said, all consciousness is in Christ. The spirit of Christ is what scientists call the unified field of energy that everything is connected to. As I said earlier, the brain is a receiver, a processor, and memory storage. The brain at work is the mind, your volition, feelings, and thinking, the expression of your soul. The life of Christ, his spirit, the divine life or source, allows you to be conscious at any moment, no matter who they are. Every person has consciousness due to the spirit of Christ. Apart from him, nothing exists, and no consciousness exists. We share consciousness together because we are spiritual beings. And that's a very important point. Now, it's interesting that everything is in this Christ consciousness, this Christ spirit, if you will. And we see this in Colossians 1:17. And he says this, he himself is before all things. And all things, remember that word, all things are held together, what? In him. So I finished with the greatest one, I think, of all of it, which is everything is in Christ. It's held together. Nothing exists apart from him. That includes people who aren't believers. That includes your neighbor. That includes the atheist. Everyone is held together by the divine life, and none of us exist apart from it. And so this is where quantum physics, or if you will, general revelation, and scripture, special revelation, come together. Scientists describe this field of energy based on accepted terminology. Scripture describes it a little differently, but it is the same thing. It's the same thing. Everything was created and is held together by the spirit of the divine life, the source, and nothing exists apart from that life. Now, if you can ever begin to move away from this duality of God's here, I'm here, and there's separation, and the things we've been taught, if you will, by evangelical religion, or you may be in a different denomination, if you can ever get away from this ideal of being separate from God and realize that you are in Christ, one with Christ, one in his life in you, one in spirit, and you didn't get that way because of a prayer you said or a decision you made or something that you really meant, you know, a rededication. God doesn't care about any of that. That's your work, okay? That's what you did. Now, did you awaken to it? Yes, but you know, spirit's the one that awakens you to it. All our part is to say, thank you. I'm so grateful that God did this. So grateful that this was done for me long before I ever got here. It is in Christ that you have everything that you need. Your consciousness and my consciousness are not separate. Neither is your consciousness and that of your friend or coworker. All consciousness is in Christ Jesus, the divine life. All things are in Christ, and Christ is in all things. If you are to live from within, from your spirit, the unseen life, to the material, which is the seen, it is essential to understand this. It is very important that you realize that everything is in Christ. As you are one with Christ, so others are one with Christ. Thus, they are one with you. Quantum physics supports this. Look at the scriptures we just quoted, and you will see the unseen field of energy in the spirit of Christ. Jesus and Paul could see things far off and be in places that were far off while still being physically in different locations. 1 Corinthians 2:16, as quoted earlier, makes it clear that we know Christ's mind because we have Christ's mind in the spirit. Now, it is absolutely important to begin to see that there's no duality between us and God. There's no God here, I'm there. We are one just as everyone else is. And I'll tell you what, when you begin to see that you're one with every person you pass on the street, every person you go to work with, every person in your neighborhood, every person at church, it doesn't matter if they're in the in-group or not, they're one with you. And I think that that fits much better into this understanding of our life in Christ than anything else. And 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Again, this gives testimony to this ideal of all things in Christ, if you will, all things in the spirit of Christ. We're not two spirits. We're one spirit joined together with Christ. His mind is your mind, and your mind is his. Everything you need at any moment lives within you, not outside you. In other words, at every moment you have what you need because his life lives within you and you're one with him. You have what you need. You've always had what you needed. You just didn't know it. You have what you need. You're not less than or not enough. You are enough in Christ's life, in the divine life, this moment. Becoming aware of this and understanding its application to your life will change how you live, will absolutely change how you live. Why go outside yourself when Christ's life and mine lives within you? There's no reason to go looking for something outside yourself, because the scriptures and quantum physics makes it clear within you lives everything that you need. It is in this unified field of energy, as everything is energy in Christ and held together each moment by Christ's life, that you find your true self. It is only in Christ, in Christ who is this unified field, that you're going to find who you truly are. You know what I find is most of the time my clients and the people I counsel with and work with in my coaching practice, they're always looking for something as though they don't have it yet. They just need to learn another concept, or they need to have another spiritual truth taught to them. None of that's necessarily going to change anything. I'm not saying it's not important or it's not a part of their growth process. But what I am saying is they already what's most important is they come to the concept that you already have everything that you need. And you always have. It is when we come to the point that we accept this, we really embrace it, having everything we need, that we are enough this moment. You are enough. There's no program, no discipleship, no reading that's going to change any of that. Those things can be helpful. But the biggest concept is this moment right now. You are one with the divine life. The divine life is one with you, in you, through you, out of you. It's everywhere. And you lack nothing. The question is, will you go inward to the abundance that is already yours this moment? Now, light is a fundamental concept of quantum physics and thus God's creation. It is described by the electromagnetic spectrum, a range of electromagnetic waves, forms of energy that can travel through space. These waves vary in length, and each wavelength has unique properties and applications. The electromagnetic spectrum increases in wavelength from right to left. On the left side of the spectrum, you have longer wavelengths, low frequency, low energy, like radio waves. On the right side, you have shorter wavelengths, high frequency, high energy, like gamma rays. Let's go through the different parts of the spectrum and highlight this progression. So I'm going to put a chart up there, and I'm going to go through this. And we're going to start on the right side of the chart and move our way over to the left. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because this is really important to understanding how light and particles work. And it's really not complicated once you've got it down. It's fairly easy, although it's really weird. it's unusual. Although the more you study scripture and the more you study quantum physics, it begins to make a lot of sense. So let's start with gamma rays. Gamma rays have the shortest wavelengths in the electromagnetic spectrum. Nuclear reactions produce them and have high energy levels. Despite being harmful to living organisms, they have applications in cancer treatment and sterilization process. So even though they can be very, very dangerous, they also can be very helpful when used properly, okay? But these are the most intense, highest frequency on the spectrum. Moving towards longer wavelengths, we encounter X-rays. While they are also high energy waves, they have slightly longer wavelengths than gamma rays. X-rays are commonly used in medical imaging to visualize bones and diagnose injuries or diseases, okay? They are not as intense. Their frequencies are not as great as gamma rays, but they are still very intense, and they also have a higher frequency than most parts of the light spectrum. Ultraviolet waves, UV waves, have shorter wavelengths than visible light. They are responsible for sunburn and can cause damage to our skin. However, they also have important uses, such as sterilizing medical equipment and detecting counterfeit money. The visible light spectrum consists of different colors, each with its own wavelength. Starting with shorter wavelengths, we have violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, and red, in order of increasing wavelengths. Visible light allows us to see the world around us and is responsible for the colors that we perceive. Visible light makes up only 0.0035% of the electromagnetic spectrum. The human eye cannot see over 99% of all light waves. Think about that. Greater than 99% of all light waves are not detectable by the human eye. Visible light only makes up less than 1%. So when we are looking with the naked eye, we're only seeing less than 1% of all the light that's out there. And this is very important to keep in mind, is that there's a lot going on that we can't see. Infrared waves have longer wavelengths than visible light. We often feel them as heat. Infrared radiation is utilized in devices like remote controls and thermal imaging cameras, allowing us to control devices and also see heat patterns. Have you ever seen goggles where you can see somebody just by their heat signature? Well, that's because we all give off an energy signature. And when you look through those goggles, you can see, if you will, infrared waves, the heat signature of that individual, because we all have an electromagnetic energy field, if you will, that we give off. This is very important because just as you give off a certain vibe, you give that vibe as a part of this energy signature. That's why when you walk into a room, you give off an energy signature, you give off a vibe, and everybody picks up on it. Those waves are out there. And so one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is because of things like that. That is light, if you will. It's just, we can't see it. But you have that energy signature, that heat signature, if you will, and everyone gives something off, be it a low frequency or a high frequency. Microwaves have even longer wavelengths. They are used in microwave ovens for heating food quickly and evenly. Additionally, they play a crucial role in communication systems like satellite transmissions and wireless networks. When you are in the room, there's a wireless network. You're looking at your phone and you say, oh, I've got a wireless connection. What you're saying is oh, I have some microwaves in the room that this signal is moving on. What is that signal, that wavelength on? It's a microwave. So when you talk about wireless, you're talking about microwaves, and microwaves are light, okay? And light is energy. So here we are again. Everything is energy. So you see how we have captured things that we can't see and use them to our advantage in this life. And we're going to talk more about why that's so significant. Radio waves have the longest wavelengths in the electromagnetic spectrum. They are used in various forms of communication, such as radio and television broadcasting, allowing us to listen to music, watch TV shows, and stay connected wirelessly. So this is another thing. When you're in a room, these waves are there. These, if you will, radio waves and microwaves, they're all in that room. You just can't see them. You can't see them, but they're there. This is the ideal of the unseen world, that which is unseen, because it is what's real. You know, when you're in a room, there's a broadcast station going on. There's some sort of program going on. There's a movie going on. The only reason you can't see it is because you don't have the equipment and you're not dialed into that frequency. You have to get dialed into that transmission and the frequency it's on. But if you get dialed to that transmission and that frequency, you can see that show. You can hear that radio show. You can see that TV show. Isn't that interesting? That's the reality, is what you can't see. You know, the same is true for a microwave oven. You turn the microwave oven on and put your food in there, even though you can't see these waves of light, they are cooking your food, okay? And it's very important. Even though you can't see the waves of light, you can use those wireless networks because they are moving along those waves of light. It's just an amazing world that God has given us. As we discussed, visible light that our eyes can see makes up less than 1% of all light on the light spectrum. Of the light from our sun, about 43% is visible, okay? 52% is infrared, and 3% is ultraviolet. The lower frequency radio and microwaves and the higher frequency X-rays and gamma rays make up the remaining 2%. So those that are on the further end of the spectrum make up much less than 2%. Whereas the visible light from our sun that we get from the sun makes up 43%. Yet of all the light that comes here, it's only, if you will, less than 1%. So it's an amazing, amazing thing that God has given us. And it's incredible to be able to study this, you know, general revelation and see how it applies to us. Unlike particles such as atoms, all light is made of photons, which do not have mass. These photons travel at 186,000 miles per second. Okay, that's the speed of light. And light can travel 11,160,000 miles in 1 minute. Think about that. And the light from our sun reaches the Earth in just over 8 minutes. So from the time the light leaves the sun and gets to the Earth, is about 8 minutes. The distance from our planet to the next closest solar system in the Milky Way galaxy is over 4.5 light years away. We would need to travel at the speed of light to reach this solar system in 4.5 years. The fastest manned propulsion system that humanity has devised can travel around 35,000 miles per hour, requiring 84,000 years to travel the same distance. The universe God created is immense. So what we're saying is if you could travel at the speed of light, it would take light 4.5 years to go from this solar system to the next solar system, not the next galaxy, the next solar system. For us to do it with current technology, it would take 84,000 years to go from this solar system to the next solar system. Isn't that incredible? It's just amazing to me, the universe that God has created and how immense it is. What this tells me, and by studying this electromagnetic spectrum, it allows me to see the immensity of all God has done in the universe and his creation of it. It also tells me how small we are overall. You try to compare that against everything else. We're small potatoes in all of this. Humans want to look at who they are and say, see, we're the center of the universe, but we are not. Just studying it, just a cursory study of what we've talked about shows us that we are not the center of the universe. We are not the center of all God is doing. We're a part of it, but we are not the center of it. That is religious pride. It is pride, if you will, of what Paul calls the flesh. And until we come to grips with things like the electromagnetic spectrum, the cosmology, if you will, of the universe, the reality of the immenseness of it, the reality of light and how fast it travels, we're unprepared really to then take the Bible and really understand it as a spiritual book. Jesus said this, "I am the light of the world." Did he mean only visible light or all of the light on the electromagnetic spectrum? What was he talking about? Did his listeners understand the various types and energy intensities of light? Did they understand frequencies and amplitudes in the light spectrum? You see, Jesus was making a general statement about what they knew and could understand. And he was metaphorically speaking of their soul and spirit, not light photons. Yet today, we have a greater understanding of this light spectrum than they had and have used these different wavelengths to communicate more effectively and even save lives. Do you see here how general revelation is continuous and will instruct us if we are open-minded and unafraid to receive it? You see, Jesus told them, "I'm the light of the world," but there wasn't anybody in the crowd going, "Well, there's a lot of light on the electromagnetic spectrum. Which part of that are you?" No, he was simply using this as a metaphor, the light that they could see. But Jesus understood all that. But well, why didn't he bring it up with them? Why didn't he talk to them about it? Because they didn't need to know that. They weren't ready to hear that, and they wouldn't have understood it anyways. However, you have this information. You have what they did not have. You have information the Apostle Paul did not have. Did you ever think about that? You have been given what's called continuous revelation from general revelation. And none of the apostles had that. And Jesus has entrusted you with this. And it is there to instruct us if we are open-minded and unafraid to receive it. You say, "Well, how does this tie in to consciousness?" Oh, very much so. Because what we're going to find in the next video, you're going to have to wait till then, is that consciousness is directly related to manifesting in this world, in this, if you will, universe. It's incredibly important. And light is a big part of that. And so moving forward, we're going to see how God's creation responds to your attention and focus through light and your consciousness. I look forward to continuing that in the next video.